Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our two scripture readings, one will come from 1 Peter, the second from the Gospel according to John. The words that you will see on the screen are our NRSV translation. You're welcome to follow along with your pew Bibles, which is the common English translation. The page markers are listed in your bulletin. But this morning, I'm going to, of course, throw things out in the, you know, and do my own thing. So I'll be reading from the Message this morning. And we will start with 1 Peter chapter 2. Hear now these words. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness that you'll grow up mature and whole in God. Welcome to the living stone, the source of life. The workman took one look and threw it out. God set it in the place of honor. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God. The scriptures provide precedent. Look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. To you who trust him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him, the stone the workman threw out is now the chief foundation stone. For the untrusting, it's a stone to trip over, a boulder blocking the way. They trip and fall because they refuse to obey just as predicted. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Our second scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel according to John. Be reading verses 1 through 14. Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. And you already know the road I'm taking. Thomas said, Master, we have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? And Jesus said, I am the road, the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. And Philip said, Master, show us the Father. Then we'll be content. You've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Believe me, I'm in my Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these words. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things. Because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, as we stand here in the midst of the post-resurrection season, a season that we know is Easter, we are Easter people. We are ones who recognize that new life is found in Christ Jesus, who shows us the way, the truth, and the life. Allow us to hear with fresh words and fresh thoughts and open hearts of what you would have us hear this day, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we have 1 Peter talking about that there is a unique calling for us, that in our spiritual growth that we are identified to be God's people, that our identities are found in Christ, and we are to mature in that faith. And then we hear the gospel according to John, and how many of you have heard this particular passage before? How many of those of you who have heard it before have heard it in funeral settings? Right. So what does it mean for us to hear this text today, not at a funeral service? Because oftentimes we hear this as Jesus is preparing a room. There are many rooms in the house. There is space for you as an acknowledgement of this eternal life that we were walking into, or we celebrate, you know, in our services of death and resurrection. But for us to be here hearing this message today, not celebrating the life of someone faithful, it gives us a different understanding of what Jesus is meaning here. That in this discourse to the disciples, obviously in this case Thomas and Philip, I have shared already that I think Thomas got a bum rap being doubting Thomas because, you know, he couldn't believe unless he put his fingers in Jesus' sides. And we have Thomas and we have Philip who still don't understand, right? These are the guys that have been hanging out with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry, and they still are not getting the clear message of what Jesus is calling them to. They're like, well, what do you mean? How do we know? How do we know where we're supposed to go? You haven't given us a roadmap. And I love how the little kids were like, what is that? You know, like they missed the whole road atlas. They missed the whole printing out of MapQuest. I laugh when my dad says he prints directions now, right? And I was thinking about this, and it's one of the conversations that has been asked, at least on Wednesday nights, of what does this path of discipleship look like? How do we know that what we do is enough? How do we know that what we're doing is what God intends? How do we know that we are growing in our faith, that we are maturing in Christ? And here's the struggle. Friends, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how we know because we're not always guaranteed the assurance. Do you know what I mean? And yet we are called to a life of trust and faith and living as we think God intends us to live. And then we put our whole stock and barrel in the fact that there is the gift of God's grace. That grace is what will lead us into that right living. Right? And so as I'm thinking about this and the way and the truth and the life of discipleship, well, one, I can tell you that it's going to start with relationships. Your relationship to God. This upward relationship. And for us, that relationship is possible because of who? Let's do that again. This relationship to God is possible because of who? Thank you. Right. It is possible because of Jesus. That Jesus in his life, being the Word incarnate, showed what this life could look like, very different than what the religious authorities had thought. And so Jesus is making this even possible for us. And it was God's intention from the very beginning. So this relationship has to be aligned. which means that we need to be really intentional about how we're staying attuned to God and staying in love with God. How do we do that? Well, the fancy terms is acts of piety, right? And piety for us mean like, well, we got to be pious. No, acts of piety is your individual acts of staying close to God. And that can be in reading scripture. That can be in your prayer time, whether it is spoken prayer, silent prayer, yoga prayer, journaling prayer, walking in nature and just being attentive to where God is. It could be practice of fasting. And oftentimes when I say fasting, what do you think I'm telling you to fast from? Food. But fasting can also mean fasting from your electronic devices, putting them down. It could mean fasting from television. It could be fasting from those activities that you do that maybe is time that could be better spent being attentive to your relationship to God. So fasting can look different. It could be meditation. And some words, in some places, they call it sometimes mindfulness, right? Of like checking in and listening to the sounds and grounding your body to where you are to really pay attention to what you're feeling and experiencing in your own person. Because sometimes if we get disconnected from ourselves, how are we ever going to be connected to God? Right? So that's acts of piety, and there are other options. But then we have to be attentive to our relationship this way. Our relationship to one another. And it can start with your own families. It could start with, I'm looking at my elementary and middle and junior high and high school and college age. There's relationships with peers. I'm looking at adults. It may be between spouses or partners or extended family, you know, and then it gets bigger than that, right? How are we in connection and relationship to one another? Well, how do we do that? Well, we come together to worship. We're coming here to intentionally be in community together so that we can grow together. But it also can happen in your Bible study groups. Or a covenant group, or breakfast group on a Wednesday morning, right? Or a Sunday school class, or a dinner group, or inviting neighbors in to sit around a fire pit. And I'm thinking about where some of the best conversations for our youth has been, and that's been in the homes of others who've been extended that hospitality to gather and just talk with one another. In a world where electronic devices unfortunately seem to take precedent, even though we are technically more connected to each other and accessible, I feel we are more disconnected than we ever have been. And for one who does not like making phone calls, I will send you a text message till the cows come home, but picking up the phone call and actually calling somebody is not my favorite thing to do. I would rather sit and look at you face to face and say, send you a text. You want to get together for coffee? Because then I can bypass the whole phone thing, right? But to have this relationship and knowing how important that is, and one of the places, at least for me personally, is the relationship to my mother. My mom has been primarily in Korea since the summer of 2013, taking care of her mom and her stepdad. And he since has passed on, and she is still there. Well, due time difference, halfway around the world, and I'm not going to pick up the phone at 8 a.m. my time because guess what? She's going to be in bed. So I've said, okay, well, what can I do? So now I call her at 10 p.m. on a Tuesday night, because I know she's up. And even that has done so much more for maintaining that connection of that time until she can come back home and be here permanently. So that relationship, are we being intentional about that to our friends, our family, to our coworkers? And then it goes one step farther to our relationship to the community. Do we know who our neighbors are? And I'm not talking about necessarily the people who live immediately on either side of you, but our neighbors is everyone out there in the world, particularly in this place we call Holly Springs. How many of you are extroverts? Hanging out with people is not a big deal to you. Yeah. How many of you are introverts and the whole idea of being a crowd is like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So we have to find those places where it suits our own personalities, right? And who we are as a person. You know, but that's also part of it, right? Like, and then I'm looking at those that are easy to go out and be in crowds and I'm like, hey, John, you're great at this. Can you let me know what's going, like, you know, and deploy John into those spaces, right? Or even Lori. And thinking about how Lori over here does great with building connections. But I'm just sitting here thinking, how can I as an introvert lean into my extrovert friends to make a better impact into the community? Does that make sense? And same thing, like for the extroverts, they may say, hey, how can I lean into my introvert friends who are great at one-on-one conversation, right? And so together these gifts come so that we can actually work on that community relationship. And the other part that I think about is the fact that we, in our relationship with the community, can better understand what it is that they need. How many times do we say, oh, well, I'm going to do this, and that may not actually be what they need. But if we have a relationship, then we can organically understand where they are and what they might need. And then we can respond to that. But none of that is possible without who? Thank you. Yes, Jesus. Say it loud. Say it out loud. Jesus is the one who makes that possible. That Jesus is the path, the way, the truth. And Jesus is the cornerstone of our individual identities, but also our community identities of building this life of faith. That we can become this priesthood of all believers. That we can participate in the work that Jesus started but has handed on to us. That work is to help us know who God is. And for us to share who God is into the world. That we are sent into this work that Jesus began. That we are sent into our homes, into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, into our community. So that we can be the visible sign of God's grace and love in the world. Kind of the same thing as me being sent to serve among you as your pastor. You are also sent to serve one another. And none of this is possible without Jesus. And because there are many spaces that Jesus is providing, for me, that means that Jesus acknowledges that we all have different unique skills, talents, interests that collectively will have farther reach, greater connection, better impact. So are y'all ready to be sent out with me? Can I get a yes? Okay. So we're going to come, we're going to receive God's grace, and then we're going to leave this place because you're here for an hour on Sunday, but you're out there for 167 hours a week. So your real work doesn't happen here. It happens out there. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.